fellow geek brethren, you have come to the right place for all of your gaming, gadgets, technology, anime, video games, comic books, and anything else you can think of. It is GeekSpeak here at SpeakGeekSpeak.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, live from Brooklyn, New York, Ian Levenstein. Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to GeekSpeak here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. And of course, we are podcasting at speakgeekspeak.com. You may notice a bit of a different audio quality this week. Well, that is because I am basically recording this episode straight from my home. It will be a full episode of GeekSpeak. However, I am currently at a video game party as this is being released on Brooklyn College Radio, and I didn't feel like coming in on Friday, so I figured I have the equipment, I might as well use it, and that is exactly what I'm going to do. What a packed show we have lined up for you here. A lot of E3 news to report, and a couple of technology bits here and there, but the main news coming out of E3, the price point has been released for the PlayStation 3, and it is not pretty. You know what else is not pretty? The brand new PlayStation 3 controller. And, well, I pretty much called it, and it's exactly how I expected it to be. And we'll talk about that on today's show. Also, the fact that the Wii has itself a lot more than we thought. And, well, one of the things that it has, get ready for it, get ready for it, I want to say it. It's going to happen. Duck Hunt 2. For the first time since the original NES, a Nintendo system has a Duck Hunt. I am a very happy individual here. Also, a court case has finally been solved for Apple, and it looks like they beat the Beatles. What a shock there. I pretty much had it called when the announcement first came out that Apple was being sued by Apple, which is interesting. But they won. And Apple won something else as well. There always seems to be at least one piece of news on the show about Apple winning something, but they won something again. And what did they win this time? Well, Sony has officially decided to pick up the AAC format, and I'm not too surprised about that, considering how little people actually give a crap about Sony's software. And I, for one, am definitely one of those. And I also have my review of quite possibly the geekiest movie in the history of man, and that, of course, is the William Shatner epic known only as Free Enterprise. But let's start things off with the biggest news of the week, and that obviously is the PlayStation 3's price tag being announced. Now, going into E3, a lot of people were basically on the fence of exactly how much money this thing was going to cost. I was thinking it was going to be somewhere around $399, because that seemed a bit reasonable for the fans out there, because a lot of people, including myself, would not have the monetary funds to purchase a expensive system like the PlayStation 3, unless it was about $299, $399, something along those lines. Well, the price point has been announced, and there will be two price points, $499 and $599, and I am not a happy camper. This news, by the way, courtesy of the man, the myth, the guy who's on every podcast, David Price, and once again, a plug for him. Thanks for joining us on Comic Timing. You're the man, David. Anyway, here's a story out of money.cnn.com. PlayStation 3 prices, $499 and $599. New gaming system will go on sale in the U.S. on November 17th with two hard drive sizes, mimics Nintendo's controller. When the PlayStation 3 launches in the United States on November 17th, it will carry the highest price of any major console launch. Sony announced plans Monday to offer two packages when the system goes on sale this fall. A PS3 with a 20 gigabyte hard drive will cost consumers $499. $500. Those wanting a larger 60GB hard drive will pay $599. That is insane. The $499 version will also lack several features found in the more expensive one. The PS3 will be $200 and $300 higher than the launch price of the PlayStation 2 6 years ago. It's $100 higher than the current retail price of Microsoft's Xbox 360. But mind you, when this came out, I thought the Xbox 360 was way too expensive. Well, I guess PlayStation 3 is pretty much saying, you know, Microsoft, you're pretty reasonable, and we have completely forgotten how to be reasonable. And no, I don't mean Nintendo Wii. I'm still talking about the PlayStation here. No, the Nintendo knows how to be reasonable. PlayStation has completely forgotten what reasonable even means. All they're thinking about is the bigger picture, and in the process, they're forgetting that nobody really cares at this point. European gamers will pay 499 and 599 euros for the two packages. Gamers were quick to react on message boards, protesting the high price. "My wallet just cried," wrote Dingo Stole My Baby. Maybe the dingo ate your baby, a member of ShackNews.com. Sony also revealed a key feature of its new controller, showing a functionality that appears very similar to the one Nintendo will offer with the Wii, its new system. While the controller looks virtually identical to the current PS2 controller, user wrist movements can also be translated into on-screen movement, but it's based upon our industry-standard controller, which has been enjoyed by so many gamers, said Phil Harrison, president of Sony Computer Entertainment Worldwide Studios. Nintendo shrugged off the similarities with a spokesperson saying, "Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery." Aww, how isn't that cute? But it's wrong! The $499 price had been widely speculated, but industry observers were surprised with Sony's decision to offer two packages, as well as with a $599 price tag. At least Sony's giving people advance notice on how much they're going to need to save up, said PJ McNeely, an analyst for American Technology Research. "I think some people are going to find $599 intimidating. Maybe not early adopters, but definitely the mainstream audience." And you know what? I, for one, will find that incredibly, incredibly intimidating. I am a college student. I've made this clear on many occasions. And you know what? Even after I'm a college student, I'm going to be a guy struggling for a job. Now, a lot of gamers out there survive on paycheck to paycheck, okay? They cannot put down $499 or $599 for a console. It is absolutely insane to believe that anybody in their right mind would do such a thing. Well, apparently, Sony thinks we're all crazy because they think we're going to put down the money for this. Well, guess what? It's pretty much been announced, not exactly official yet, that the Nintendo Wii is going to be around a price tag of $250. That is in my price range, and it's much more appealing. And by the way, did I call it on the controller change, or did I call it on the controller change? Exactly like the old controller, only without a rumble. What a shock. Oh, excuse me, not a DualShock anymore. My mistake. It's the dual sensor, or dual tremble, or whatever you want to call it. It has sensors similar to the Nintendo Wii. Now, you know for a fact that they tacked these on at the last second, thinking if we just gave them controllers, bare-bone controllers that have absolutely no appeal whatsoever, nobody's going to want to buy our controllers. Well, now they add in the support that the Nintendo Wii already has, and it's not impressing anybody. Also, the font that they're using, they totally stole it from Spider-Man. I have to say it. This is exactly the same font that Spider-Man 2 uses in Spider-Man 3 and all the other ones, and that's what's on their black PlayStation 3 controller. Surprisingly enough, the same color of Spider-Man's brand new outfit in Spider-Man 3. Coincidence? I think not. All right, I'm not being serious here. But the fact remains, Sony is out of their frickin' minds. They're not gonna realize that until they start playing these games and understand that, wait a minute, this is exactly the same product that I am getting with my Nintendo, only it's about, I'd say, too much money. Blu-ray is really, really expensive. And Sony should have saw that when they were coming in. They really should have saw that. They should have realized, hey, you know, this is a really new technology here. Maybe we should wait on the whole Blu-ray thing just to be on the safe side. but they didn't, because they are morons. And it's pretty much becoming apparent now. They are almost as bad as Microsoft in my eyes now. And you know what? That says a lot, because everybody knows that I'm not exactly a Microsoft fan. I am a Sony guy. I have a Sony PlayStation 2. I am not going to purchase the Sony PlayStation 3 until it goes down in price. And it better go down in price really, really early on, or else they're going to keep losing money. Okay? They're charging this amount to try and gain money, but they're going to lose a hell of a lot really, really fast when people do not buy this system. Now, they had on display a Madden game for the PlayStation 3, which looked surprisingly well. But they also had the Madden game for the Nintendo Wii on display, and, you know, the difference was not nearly as noticeable as chances are PlayStation was hoping. I mean, sure, the graphics are obviously better on the PlayStation 3s than on the Nintendo Wii, but it's not about graphics, it's about gameplay. Everybody knows that. Every single gamer out there by now has learned that as long as you have a good product out there with a lot of games to support it, you will do well. That's the whole reason why the PlayStation 2 survived as long as it has. That's the whole reason why the original PlayStation was still in development until about 4 or 5 months back. Sony right now has shown us about 8 or 9 demos, I'd say. They showed us a bit more of Tekken 6, which is officially announced now. They have showed us a couple of other games here and there. I believe they showed us a Battlefield. I'm not impressed. I'm really, really not impressed. And mind you, the original demos probably impressed me more. Because guess what? That was a year ago. A year ago, I would have thought we would be staring actual games in the face for PlayStation 3 and not more tech displays. You didn't even see in-game fighting for the Tekken game for PlayStation 3, and that has been in development for a year now. Developers were told about this brand new function of the controller about a week and a half ago. A week and a half ago. You're kidding me. That's just so unprofessional of Sony. And I'm sure they know this. I'm sure they're thinking to themselves, what the hell are we supposed to do now? Everybody thinks that we're just trying to copy Nintendo. And the funny thing is that once upon a time, people were thinking that Nintendo was copying everybody else. It's kind of funny how things change. I am upset about this, because I was a fan of the PlayStation 3, but I'm not anymore. What I am a fan of is the Nintendo Wii. And one of the main reasons why I am a fan of the Nintendo Wii, there was a tech demo. There was a playable, I can't say that enough, playable demo of, get ready for this, Duck Hunt 2. Oh my god. See, this is why I like Nintendo. This is why I will put my money down on a Nintendo system, because they respect the past. Alright, they respect their fans enough to not completely forget about the games that made them famous. Mario games are still being made, and the Super Mario Brothers that just came out for the DS, or is coming out, or really, really soon, is a hearkening to the old days. Duck Hunt 2, that is a hearkening to the old days. And this is innovation as well, because every time a Duck Hunt has come out, it's been because Nintendo is making a giant leap. The last time they released a Duck Hunt was for the original NES. Now, they know that they have changed enough where it makes sense to release a second Duck Hunt, to make the fans happy, to make us proud to be Nintendo fans. A lot of other demos on hand there. It was announced that the Nintendo Wii will have an exclusive Resident Evil game, yet again repeating the pattern of Resident Evil's coming to the Nintendo system first. This is great. I have been waiting for Nintendo to have announcements that would just impress me. The Virtual Console has been revealed for the Nintendo Wii, and from what people have been saying, it even makes Mario 64 look better. You know, there's not much I can say bad about Nintendo right now. And they redesigned the controller a bit, they made it a bit more streamlined, it looks a bit more professional now, less of a tech demo as it were, and PlayStation 3 got rid of its boomerang, but they came out with the same old thing. I was a type of individual that wanted to see a DualShock similarity, not the exact same thing with motion sensors. And yet, that's what we got. Now, I know in the past I said, hey, maybe, just maybe, they'll just say, hey, the DualShock works, let's just stick with that. Well, you know what? We got what we wished for. As gamers, we got what we asked for. We wanted the DualShock and we got it. And now that it's actually happened, I'm actually a bit disappointed. I didn't expect it. I really didn't. I thought, hey, maybe this'll work. And not anymore. Because they're lazy. PlayStation 3 is just plain lazy. I hope they're happy with themselves, because I think they just lost a prospective buyer. And his name is Ian Levenstein. The guy talking right now. So I've got yet another David Price piece to present to all you folks, because he's the man. There's not much else I can say about David Price except for the fact that he makes this show run with his stories, with his enthusiasm. The guy is a podcasting legend, okay? That's all we gotta say about that. Anyway, he sent me news, basically a follow-up story to a previous story I covered here on GeekSpeak. Apple outsings Beatles in trademark court battle. London court rules iPod maker did not break 1991 trademark agreement with Beatles-owned Apple Corporation. And this is coming out of money.cnn.com yet again, because CNN does good stuff every now and then. Apple Computers won its courtroom battle against the Beatles on Monday when a judge ruled the company's iTunes music store did not infringe on the trademark of Apple Corporation, which represents the band's interest. Shares of Apple, up 58 cents to $72.47, rose nearly 1% on the news on NASDAQ. In a trial which included the playing of disco hit Le Freak in London's High Court, Apple Corporation argued the computer company had violated a 1991 trademark agreement by moving into the music business. Apple Computer, which had sold millions of iPods in more than a billion song downloads, and that still gets me to this day, over a billion. Well, hey, I mean, a lot of repeat business there, I guess, held that iTunes was primarily a data transmission service and permitted by the agreement. The Beatles are high-profile holdouts from internet music services like iTunes, but it emerged during the trial that Apple Corporation is preparing the band's catalog to be sold online for the first time, according to submission by Neil Aspinall, managing director of Apple Corporation and a former Beatles road manager. "We are glad to put this disagreement behind us," Apple chief executive Steve Jobs said. "We have always loved the Beatles, and hopefully we can now work together to get them on the iTunes music store." Aw, would you look at that? They're all in bed together now, and they're having a good time. They're knocking boots. I amuse myself sometimes, yeah, because I'm just funny like that. Anyway, yeah, I saw this coming. Yet again, Apple will not beat Apple here, even though Apple beat Apple. Apple Computers is a much more powerful entity than the Apple Corporation. The Beatles were great once upon a time. Don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Beatles fan. But that was then. That was then, folks. Now, however, it's Apple's court. That's probably the best way to put it. Apple Computers, they know that chances are the Beatles will sell really, really well on the internet. They just have to be on there. Once you get this entire thing settled, you go to them and say, well, now that we have our disagreements under the rug, would you like to sell I Want to Hold Your Hand on our service? Because we want to hold your hand. We're nice. We're friendly. Here, have a popsicle. Yes, that's exactly what they want. Will Apple get it? That's a good question, because Apple Corporation might very well open up their own Beatles store and just sell it from there. But I'm sure at one point or another, Beatles music will end up on iTunes. And just think of how many downloads iTunes is missing without the Beatles catalog in it. I mean, just think about that. The Beatles, the most well-renowned band in the history of rock and roll. So many Beatles fans out there, far and wide. Even fans of metal music are fans of the Beatles, because they know that without the Beatles, the entire rock and roll revolution might have very well ended right there. Sure, it was helped along with the Rolling Stones and the Monkees and all that, but the Beatles made it happen. They were the national phenomenon. They were the boy band of their time, you can even say, only with much, much better music than the Backstreet Boys ever had. All right. The Beatles sell. iTunes sells. The iTunes Music Store sells. iPods sell. It's a match made in heaven. And yet, neither of them realized it until now. I'm sure that iTunes wanted it on their store for the longest freaking time, but Apple Corporation, too stubborn to realize that music downloads do not equal copyright infringement, tried to get money out of the deal. Well, here's a good way to get money. Sign a freaking contract, all right? Don't even bother with a lawsuit. You will not win. Just go about your business. Be the company that you always have been, okay? Only include iTunes in on the deals, all right? That's all you got to do. Just throw them a bone, let them sell your music, because chances are they'll do a much better job of selling their music than you ever will. Just think about it. There's a reason why iTunes has over a billion downloads. And no, it's not because people like the shiny apple on their logo. It's because the iTunes Music Store works. Without the iTunes Music Store, just think of how in debt Apple would be. Because there'd be no way to get any songs unless they were illegal onto your iPod. Other than that, unless you want to take the time to burn your CDs on there and do it. A lot of people don't want to take the time to do that. They'll just get their songs from iTunes, and it's as simple as that. Also, it is a data transfer service, because they don't just sell music on the iTunes store. They also sell videos, music videos, The Office, My Name is Earl, The Colbert Report, The Daily Show, Lost. The list goes on and on of things that you can find on the iTunes Music Store, because it's not just a music store. And in the realm of Sony, yet again, because these news stories always come in pairs, I've begun to learn that. Sony has officially bowed out of the whole music thing, because they realized that Apple just has their number. And you know what? Good for them. This is coming out of Asahi.com. Asahi! Anybody remember those beer commercials? Well, I'm sure probably only the people from New York remember them. Yeah, back when Hideki Arabu was on the New York Yankees, all you could find on radio were commercials for Asahi beer. And, well, now that the fat, pudgy toad is out of here, we never need to see those advertisements anymore, thank God. But still, the memories remain. And just like the memories, the memory of Sony trying to stand up on its own remain in my head, really. And here is that news out of Asahi.com. Sony Corporation on Tuesday announced a symbolic concession to Apple Computer Corporation on digital audio technology. The company will make its latest music management software compatible with the AAC data compression technology used by Apple. The change will enable users of some types of Walkman digital audio players to listen to music imported from Apple's music management software. Sony's long clung to its proprietary data compression technology known as A-Track. It has since turned to an open-door policy, embracing such popular formats as MP3 and Microsoft Corporation's WMA. Still, the electronics manufacturer's acceptance of Apple's AAC format, used for the immensely popular iPod digital music players, marks a particular about-face. Sony said the coming version of its music management software, Sonic Stage, will support the popular format AAC. The company will provide the software, called Sonic Stage CP, free of charge through the internet from May 25th. The software is compatible with hard disk types of Walkman A-series products. Sony's latest strategy is taken as an open acknowledgement that it can no longer ignore iPod's dominant lead. In April, Apple controlled 52% of the nation's portable digital music player market in terms of units sold, according to market researcher BCN Incorporated. Sony is a distant second with a 15% share, followed by Matsushita Electric Industrial Corporation with a 7% share. So, this is a concession. This is proof that nobody gives a crap about A-Track. All right, when I found out that my Sony Walkman, when I still had it, when it still worked, played A-Track, I immediately went, eh, there's not much I can do with this format, because I knew I was not going to buy things off of their store. In fact, immediately, and I'm not even joking, immediately after buying my free songs off of Sony, which they give about 5 free songs with the purchase of my Walkman, I got rid of the software, because I knew I'd never use it. I converted the A-Track to MP3 as well, knowing wholeheartedly that I would never play an A-Track song on my player or on my computer, because A-Track is a format that only Sony executives enjoy. Sony executives love a lot of things, apparently. They enjoy a lot of things. They enjoy conceding. They enjoy taking other people's ideas and using it for their own. This is just a going pattern now for Sony. First, they adapt the motion sensors for the Wii onto their controller. Now they're conceding here. I think this is proving that Sony is completely out of ideas, and they realize that other people have better ideas than them. It's the only explanation here, because, well, they would never be conceding unless they had something in the pipes, unless they had something in the works that they knew that they could count on. But they don't have that anymore. Sony used to be a very powerful organization. They used to be the front runners. Without them, the Walkman would have never happened. Without them, MP3 players would not have even existed, because they were the ones who introduced the portable media in the first place. But now they are a distant second compared to Apple in the portable media market. And they know this, or else they would never be accepting AAC. And by the way, this is a sign also. The next people that need to adapt AAC, and H.264 for that matter, are Zen. And need to mention this on the show, because I am royally pissed about this. Remember that Zen Vision MO was so happy about? Well, guess what it did on me this past Monday? Oh boy, was I pissed. Here we go. It black screened on me. Now you might be asking, what the hell are you talking about? Well, apparently there is a bug inside of the Creative Zen Vision M's software, probably inside the firmware itself, that gives you a black screen of death that you can never recover from. Oh yeah, I'm really happy about that too, especially considering I've had it for a month. So I'm sending it back to Creative. They're going to send me a new one. Life will be good. But the fact remains that this should not have happened in the first place. And still, I would love to see the Zen accepting Macintosh's format. Because if they do that, yeah, sure, they're conceding as well. But that means that we'll all be able to play whatever the hell we want on our MP3 players. The wars will be over. The only war left will be the console wars. And I guess you can say the HD, DVD, Blu-ray war, although I have a feeling that one's not going to last too long, because chances are HD, DVD will win because it's cheaper, just like VHS won because it was cheaper than Beta. Sony, give it a rest. Zen, make a better player, and Nintendo, keep it up, because I apparently am going to be saying that in every single one of my segments this show. before I move on to non-video game related news and onto the technology, have to mention this really quickly here. Joystick just announced, and oh my god, I cannot believe this, and it makes me want to get the system even more. It just announced that the man, the myth, the legend, the Snake will be on the next version of Smash Brothers. Super Smash Brothers Brawl will be the name. The newcomers will be including Pit from Kid Icarus, Zero Suit Samus, Wario, and Snake. The fact that Nintendo secured Solid Snake, one of the most recognizable figures in video games. The man who is usually related to Sony these days. Even though his first adventures were on the Nintendo, he's usually a Sony mascot. A lot of people consider him that, because PlayStation 2, Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 3, great games. Sure, there was the remake of Metal Gear Solid on the GameCube, which was actually really good, but that usually goes under the radar a bit. But now he will be in a cornerstone Nintendo game. I'm going to link to this in the show notes. There's a really funny picture of Snake inside a box, which is just great, and there's also Snake talking to Otacon on the codec, which is awesome. And by the way, the picture of Snake they have on here, the graphics look really damn good to me. And again, I'm not much of a graphics guy. As long as you give me a good product, I'm a happy guy. So there you go. Snake will be in Smash Brothers. Enjoy it. You know I will. Anyway, let's move on to technology. You ever buy a hard drive off of eBay? You ever find something on that hard drive you shouldn't have found? Well, it's been a very David Price day, and it will continue to be a David Price day as, well, used hard drives retain data in eBay sale. Oh, man. eBay. eBay is my favorite thing. Okay, my girlfriend just purchased off of eBay a replica of Reno's Electro Magrod from Final Fantasy VII. Advent Children, because she's dressing up as Reno in a cosplay for her anime convention that we're going to, Anime Boston, which is only a couple weeks away. And by the way, I might try to get some interviews at Anime Boston. I will let you guys know about that. But chances are I will have, well, hopefully I'll have some sort of MP3 player with me that has a microphone, because, well, without my Zen, I'm sort of crippled with that. But I'll see what I can do, and I might get some interviews with that. If I can't get interviews there, I'll get interviews at Anime Next for sure, because that one I'm doing multiple panels at, and I want to be able to get some interviews. Anyway, moving on. eBay is great for a lot of things. You know, whether it's for used condoms, oh wait, you can't do that anymore. Or for livers, you can't do that anymore either. Or for Xbox 360 boxes, which was still my favorite story of all time. The fact that people were buying boxes for the Xbox 360 off of eBay and not realizing that they were just boxes. Oh man, that's just so kick-ass. Used hard drives are being sold on eBay that still have their data on them. And this is coming out of PCWorld.com, and yet again, from the brain of David Price to my mouth. Thank you very much, Mr. Price. Anybody with $5 and a little patience may be able to score sensitive corporate data on eBay. Organizations engaging in the common practice of disk drive recycling, selling unneeded disk drives directly or through a service, may find that company data winds up for sale on eBay's auction site, even if the drives had been wiped first. Idaho Power. By the way, Idaho Power, that's just hilarious to me for some reason. I'm not even sure why. Idaho Power. It sounds like the slogan for the state, doesn't it? Come visit Idaho. Idaho Power! Idaho Power found itself in that situation last week as it attempted to track down unscrubbed company disk drives that had been sold on eBay. The drives contained confidential employee information, correspondence with customers, and memos that discussed proprietary company information, the company said. The Boise, Idaho-based utility supplies electricity to approximately 460,000 customers in southern Idaho and eastern Oregon. Idaho Power said it hired Grant Korth of Nampa, Idaho, to recycle about 230 SCSI drives. Korth sold 84 of those drives to 12 parties, which have not been disclosed by the company using the eBay website. The remaining 146 drives were returned to Idaho Power, the company said. Korth declined to comment on the situation. Idaho Power has received assurance from 10 of the 12 parties that bought drives over eBay that the hardware would be returned or the data on them would not be saved or distributed. The other two parties are still being tracked down, the company said. All right, when you are that stupid to trust your sensitive data to an outside party, what the hell is wrong with you? Seriously, I mean, this does not say much about Idaho Power. Mind you, it's Idaho Power, so that doesn't say much to me at all, because what's so powerful about Idaho? I know it's a power company, but still, think of a better name than that. Da-da-da-da-da, Idaho Power. These guys are out of their freaking minds. I mean, anybody with any sense whatsoever would delete, wipe the drives with somebody you can count on. Somebody in your own tech department would be nice. Somebody that you know knows what the hell he's doing. Obviously, this guy did not know how to delete hard drives properly. And guess what? If you're John Smith and you're working for a company that assures that all of your data will be saved within their own networks and not distributed, and then all of a sudden, Lou Company C gets your data and starts sending you porn, you're going to kind of be pissed. And it will be so easy for the individuals who have this information to just sell it off to third parties and get all the spammers out there in about 5 to 10 minutes. It's so easy to do because it's been done before. All of these idiots out there need to be shot, I swear to God. A company that is so not tech savvy like this should not trust their technology to anybody but people inside their company. Hire a new tech guy. Hire somebody that you know is qualified for this. Don't trust outside sources. They learned that the hard way, as it is now quite apparent to them. Aside from the financial concerns related to losing data, organizations that improperly recycled disk drives can run afoul of a number of federal regulations as well. Yeah, they're really, really screwed here. If those two drives don't turn up, we're going to see an episode of 24 here, because they're going to hire Jack Bauer to hunt that down. Where's the disk drive? We need it now! Incompetence. Utter incompetence. You do not deserve to be a company when you're just that damn stupid. It's harsh words, I know, but I speak the truth here. Anybody out there, I'm sure, is going to agree with me on this. Anybody out there would be royally pissed if their company screwed up and got their data in the wrong hands. So hey, Mr. Smith, if you're working, Mr. Anderson, if you're working for a company, make sure it's a company you can trust with your personal information, because obviously companies like Idaho Power can't be trusted. By the way, next time you get a job opportunity at Idaho Power, you might want to think twice. Just a bit of a warning there from your friendly neighborhood Ian guy. So on to movie reviews. It has been so long since I've reviewed a movie on this show. It's been at least 3 or 4 episodes. Silent Hill was the last one I actually did. I gotta review a movie for you that is quite possibly the best damn geek movie you will ever see. Anybody out there, and I mean anybody out there who has not seen Free Enterprise, buy yourself the DVD. Don't rent this. Buy it, because you will watch it at least 5 to 6 times in a row, which is what I have basically done. The premise of Free Enterprise, courtesy of IMDb.com, I could say it off the top of my head, but you know what? It's right here, so I might as well. Young filmmakers Rafer Weigel and Eric McCormick trying to hawk a movie titled Brady Killers about a serial killer who goes after victims Marsha, Jan, and Cindy meet their screen idol. William Shatner. Shatner, appearing as himself, has fun poking at his own image. And I gotta tell you, out of all the people who have ever poked at their own image, William Shatner probably does it best because it's believable that he is freaking insane. I'm sure in real life he's a normal dude, but he is so eccentric. It is so fun. The two young men who idolize him and in their fantasies have seen him as a shadowy fairy godfather figure are alarmed at the reality of the middle-aged non-Captain Kirk man they have met. However, their relationship helps anchor the two more into reality. And that's the movie in a nutshell. Like I said, Eric McCormick plays Markinus. Audie England plays Claire, who, by the way, is a geek goddess in this movie, okay? No, I didn't say Greek goddess. She is a geek goddess, okay? Claire is the love interest of the Robert character, which is Rafer Weigel's character. I really hope it's Weigel and not Weigel, but if I'm pronouncing it wrong, just let me know. But yeah, Claire and Robert meet at a comic book shop. He goes to get his Sandman graphic novel, and she has it. Him asking if she was buying it for her boyfriend gets a response of, "No, I am going to take this home, read it cover to cover, in a bubble bath." Ooh. Oh, yes, that's good stuff there. And to top it all off, the entire movie, William Shatner is trying to pawn on these guys a musical version of Julius Caesar. Oh, I fool you not. A musical version of Julius Caesar. There is a musical number at the end of this movie that is quite possibly the best damn geek musical number. Best damn geek everything in this movie, I swear to God. The best musical number ever in a movie for a geek. It's just superb. Other characters in this. Richard is played by Thomas Hobson. You have Marilyn Kent playing Gale. Annika Brimley playing Astrid. Patrick Van Horn playing Sean, and also, you have the man, you have the myth, you have the legend himself. Oh yes, yes, I am talking about the one, the only, oh, I can barely even say it, oh, God, God. I sound like I'm having an orgasm. The voice of John Stewart on JLU, Phil Lamar. Oh, baby. Oof. God, this guy is like the best geek out there. You know, him and Mark Hamill have been in more geek movies than basically anybody. Every single thing he's in is like better than the last. That's the best way to put it. I mean, Free Enterprise, he has a small part, and he plays the character of Eric, but the part that he plays, he's a snarky geek, which works great for him, and he does a great job. They're shopping for laser discs in this movie at one or two times, because again, the movie takes place in, I believe, 98, and back then, people were still buying laser discs, which is hard to believe, but yeah, they were doing it. The guy who played Byron on Andy Richter is in this as well, and I mean, you just can't get better than this movie. So many geek references in this, half of which I didn't even get, but I'm sure that the more talented geek probably would. If you've ever liked comic books, if you've ever liked sci-fi, there's a Logan's Run parody in this that is so hilarious. And by the way, get the remastered edition of Free Enterprise. The original edition actually costs more money on Amazon because it's harder to get, but the remastered edition actually puts in new footage, which really works in the movie, and better special effects for the Logan's Run scene. And, you know, it's pretty apparent. I mean, it's not really too necessary, but if you can watch the remastered edition, do so. And it's actually the 10-year anniversary edition. And William Shatner, I would guarantee you that him getting the role of Denny Crane had something to do with his character in this movie, which he played himself, but he was so out there, so out of his frickin' skull. He was Denny Crane. Before Denny Crane existed, he was Denny Crane. 5 out of 5, 6 out of 5, 10 out of 5, 100 out of 5 for this movie. I will watch it again and again. I will show it to as many friends as possible because this is the holy grail of geekdom. I know I'm geeking out right now myself, but it very well deserves it. So please go out there and watch Free Enterprise for your sake.
Run, runner!
It's Wind Up Time here on Geek Speak, where I switch things over from the geek side of things to the sports side of things. And on today's episode, I am going to be talking about the incredibly piss-poor performance that Randy Johnson had this past Tuesday against the Boston Red Sox. You know, when I see Randy Johnson pitch, I am immediately expecting a win. Why is that? Because he's Randy Johnson. Okay, he is an ace pitcher and has been for so many years now. The fact that he gave up about 7 walks in that game, the fact that he gave up about 6 runs in that game, proves to me that he might just be getting old. And obviously he is getting old, but he's not Roger Clemens. Randy Johnson is not made like a horse. Okay, he has back problems. He has shoulder problems. His legs are not what they used to be. He's a tall guy. You got to remember that. Tall guys usually have problems at one point or another in their life. And he's starting to have those problems. So what are we going to do about it? I guess that's the question. I say we let him ride it out, because I think if anybody can ride this out, it is Randy Johnson. But if the New York Yankees continue to see piss poor performances out of Randy, we might have to turn to somebody new. We might need to get Barry Zito. We might need to get some other ace starter. Because right now, the Yankees do not have an ace. They do not have an ace. Without an ace up your sleeves, you've got problems on your hand. You have major problems on your hand. Because every team in the major leagues has at least one starter they can count on. Sure, sometimes they're not even a big-name guy, but there's one starter that they can count on almost every single day of the week. The Yankees right now, they sort of had Mike Mussina. Mussina's been doing a pretty decent job, but when you think about it, they don't really have much. I mean, Small, since he came off the DL, has been pretty useless. He's just been giving up runs. Chacon's been doing a decent job. Wong's been doing a decent job. Jared Wright I can never really count on, mostly because of the fact that he's Jared Wright, and so many times in the past he has proven the fans wrong to ever, ever, ever think that he can get the job done. So, kind of want to shy away from him. The Yankees are in a bad way right now. They might not be too bad in the standings, but hey, Randy Johnson, we need him to do well. If he doesn't, he does not deserve to have those pinstripes. Meanwhile, switching it over to basketball for a minute, congratulations to the New Jersey Nets for pulling it out. They are kicking major, major ass against the Miami Heat. Shaquille O'Neal is not the player he used to be. I think it's very apparent now because he's slower, just like Randy Johnson. He's aging. His knees are not what they used to be. His back's not what they used to be. Suffering the same problems that Randy Johnson has for the Yankees. The Miami Heat can't just count on Shaquille O'Neal. They need the rest of their team. The Nets are taking advantage of that. Vince Carter has been doing great. Jason Kidd, excellent job out of him. There will continue to be an excellent job out of both of them. Because when do they not perform well? I have never experienced a moment where I have felt anything but positive feelings towards Vince Carter and Jason Kidd, except for a couple games here and there. Because they are leaders. Shaquille O'Neal, not really too much of a leader. He's a doer, but he's not a leader. The Nets have a leader. The Yankees have leaders as well. But I'd really like to see them get just one more pitcher just to make me happy, because at the beginning of the year, we thought they had about 8 or 9 pitchers, and now it's looking like they might only have about 4. And that is not something you ever want to deal with on a club, because that's one pitcher short. Randy Johnson might be tall, but he's coming up short right now. That was the windup. Now here's the pitch. Every single Monday here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org for at least one more Monday. You can hear me, Ian Levesine, along with Jason Green, Joey Maggs, the ghost of Michael Hornstein, the ghost of the boomerang controller for the PlayStation 3, and the ghost of the initial GameCube controller dock that IGN showed, because that's not the dock they're using for the Nintendo. Oh well. On to sporting goods. The email address for GeekSpeak is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out those forums at speakgeekspeak.com/forums. And I have yet again put out a brand new update for the forums. We now have a new profile system in there, which is highly advanced. Daylight savings time in there and the works, and it's looking really damn well. So I really hope you guys enjoy it. Also, want to give thanks to Anamanaguchi for the music. You can find him over at myspace.com/Anamanaguchi. Also want to thank the Podshow Podsafe Network at music.podshow.com for their contributions. And I want to thank Deluxe, Jeffrey Tosser, Pixie Trick, Shonen Samurai, and Zircon for the opening and closing theme. Well, I should be back in the Brooklyn College studio next week, but for until then, I am Ian Levenstein. By the way, episode 35 of GeekSpeak. Episode 35. Holy crap. The episodes just keep flying by. 35 episodes. I can't be more happy than putting these episodes out for you guys all this time. You're a major, major influence on me keeping this up. Thank you all for that. Sincerely, from the bottom of my heart. I'm Ian Levenstein. Have a great week. Enjoy your geek. Take care, everybody. I will see you next week. In a trial where you never really saw the ads for it, but back when I love tripping on my own words. Sony executives soon to fool. Why can't I talk? Accepting Microsoft's. No, they have Microsoft format. I am a silly boy. Wright, I can never really count on David Wright. David Wright's my cousin. What am I talking about? Little.